Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The other way.
Sorry if you can yonder. See my vagina.
Oh, wait, is it appropriate?
I'm not.
Is there a rogue free down there? Do show us. On that note, welcome bangers to Banging Book Club.
Oh, bangers, I love that. That's what we should call
it. That makes them sound slowly like... patronise their audience to the point where they stop listening because you call them a name.
It makes them sound like clangers. Or... I don't know how I feel.
Sorry, guys.
Welcome.
This month we're talking about Vagina, a biography.
By Naomi Wolf.
Which is a book I've started 3 times and then told everybody to read, but never finished until this month.
Until this month.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I'm Hannah Whitten.
I am Lena Normington.
And I am Lisa Moon.
Great, and you are?
You. Yeah. It's been my final day of exams, and so we are drinking alcohol. The Woo! Alcohol.
She's graduating.
Lucy is graduating, everybody.
Like, it's like a spiritual bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
It's like an intellectual bar mitzvah for Lucy Moon.
Anyway, so cracking on with the book.
Yeah, we're going to literally crack on, or gash on, or whatever you want to call. Oh, but we've heard a lot of violent words for the word vagina. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But I thought I'd riff on that uncomfortably for a little while. Initial thoughts.
Mind blown. This book has changed my life, I think.
Wow.
That's my thoughts.
Was reading it, becoming enraged to the point where I'm like, why hasn't everybody read this?
And also, like, why hasn't anyone told me?
If this is all true, why has everybody been keeping this from me? Yeah. And...
But I think we know why, because it gives you the answers of why it's been kept secret from us.
I think the if it's all true is the bit I pick up on here. I believe a lot of it, mm-hmm. and I believe it as someone that can relate it to personal experience, as I'm sure you both can as well.
Yeah.
However, and also I think it's important to say that I think the scientific documentation of these phenomenons are, like, the reason they haven't reached, like, mainstream media is obvious, as we say, that it's not in the interests of the public.
Of the patriarchy.
Yeah,
of the it's not in the interest of the patriarchy.
If we ever release
Mr.
a t-shirt,
yeah. Nay.
If we ever release a t-shirt, that's the slogan.
Yeah. not in the interest of the patriarchy.
She takes something and builds on it to a point where it's a little bit speculative.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I get it.
And so with a lot of stuff, I am learning a lot, but I'm also very reluctant to totally buy into everything she's selling, which is she's making big conclusions.
Yeah. I feel like one of the things that she does is she takes some scientific research and it's like, okay, that's true, we get that. And then she speculates around that. And then when she moves on to the next chapter, when she's drawing on the previous one, she draws on previous speculation as fact to speculate.
It's quite volcanic. Yeah. It's like it's always building up and then it like explodes and you're like, oh my God, this is so what?
But then you realise it's some speculation based on fact.
Yes. But then because it correlates with your own experience and then from meeting you guys who have read it and you, it also correlates with yours, I'm like... Well, if it's all so recognisable to us.
Yeah, and also, like, then, anecdotal experience is really important and crucial in this book, I find.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. But I thought she did a really good job of, like, sharing her own opinions and part of her own experience about making it about her. And it is very grounded in scientific fact, but also really incorporates a kind of weird eat, pray, love, yoni side of it, which I was very excited
about.
The goddess array. Which I thought was, like, has... E.L. James read this book, because she's always like in 50 Shades of Grey, she's always like, the goddess is speaking to me in my mind.
Ooh.
It's the goddess. Oh, the goddess is telling me to do this. Very interesting.
50 Shades.
I think it's quite volcanic in it. Like, it draws on its own conclusions to keep going. Mm-hmm. So I've made notes chronologically.
For the record, I had exams. I read 200 pages. So I'll be able to contribute a lot to the beginning.
Okay, so the first thing is about destabilizing women's own agency. So there is a lot of implication that after orgasm, there's lots of different hormones and chemicals that are triggered in your brain that enables you to be more like socially fluent, more open to new ideas, more creative, more confident, more analytical,
more assertive.
All of the things she points out make you employable and more likely to be promoted. And if you're not having the right orgasms or having like those chemicals in your mind, you're not going to take over. So she says the best way to sedate a gender is to make sure they're not having those chemicals in their body, which is like the scariest, most sci-fi Margaret Atwood thing I could ever have come out of this book.
And the way that she describes dopamine is like the feminist hormone, because it gives women that power. And like she says that a woman that's high on dopamine is hard to control.
Yeah.
And the way that you can control women is by not giving them any dopamine, because then they become slightly subdued
or attacking their their neural system, so they literally can't produce it.
The neural connection
that's terrifying
between your vagina and your brain.
So also I have like overshare that I might edit out, but I have lower back issues, and I went to like a what's the person who like pops your back?
Chiropractor.
Yeah, I went to a chiropractor, and they gave me a scan, and my spine is like slightly swift there. And you know that I had like pain for sex for like 6 years, and then I read this, and I was like, sorry, what? And like no GP has ever said that to me. Anyway, so I think it's really interesting. But my question for that kind of idea is, if this is true. And if, like, those kind of dopamines and stuff where you correctly and, like, have good orgasms that are, like, sounds like they're fairly simple to do if you actually care about the woman and, like, have read this book. Is that a reason why, you know, obviously there's, like, social and political oppression for women historically, but, like, is that one... Because women haven't been having good orgasms, is that why we haven't been writing as many good books as men have been?
I'd also
is that why we've been making the paintings that we should have been? Is that why we haven't been as affluent, like... I mean, or like, is that just the social?
Is that why there are less female directors in Hollywood?
Yeah, because it's not having the good orgasms. There's an access issue. There's a political issue, like making it illegal for women to work, making sure they get paid less, making sure they have to stay socially with the children. But there's also maybe a chemical level where it's like,
we're not fighting for it hard enough.
Yeah, and they talk about like Edna St. Vincent Millay and like The Awakening, where it's like those women have written the best books they've had when they've had affairs with men that have given them good orgasms. And I'm like,
no, this
think
is
of all the books that have been lost.
But I want to about this in terms of you guys are single, right?
Mm. Yes.
And you do have sex, but you don't.
How dare you, Lizzie?
No, but you're not having like the really. You're not having.
What you're saying is you're not having very good sex. Well, you wouldn't write.
Do you actually feel like creatively empowered when you have an orgasm? I don't.
Well, Lizzie.
I feel like I'm just as creatively stimulated having orgasms and not having orgasms.
See, I feel because I'm probably gonna like check myself and like you know pay attention to it a bit more. But I will say that, like, especially if I've had morning sex, I will go about that day absolutely fearless. Like, I had sex this morning. I'm a fucking badass bitch. I can do anything. Like, I just become this. I'm just like, nothing matters. I'm going to be an absolute boss today. Like, I'm going to smash everything.
Because
I'm like, I had sex this morning. Like, that is what happens to
me. I'll say it brings confidence and it brings confidence, yeah.
Yeah.
But I would not say it brings, like, all these other levels of, like, creativity and emotional intelligence and, like...
I suppose if you create... Because I feel, like, the most creative. Like, okay, so...
But it's not about the quantity of orgasms, it's about the quality.
Yeah, so I think the past year I've had maybe the worst orgasms / absence of orgasms that I've ever had in my whole life. Like, this has been the year of, like, desert. But I've created so much stuff.
This is what... I feel like she definitely speaks from the voice of a married woman. And you can,
a
woman in a long-term relationship. And you can feel that. And I read it as someone in a relationship and was very like, oh, I can kind of, you know, I get that. But then I'm not seeing the same things that she's seeing on the same level. I'm seeing, like stuff about this later on in the book about is it the goddess array? I didn't know a bit about the goddess array. But you know how someone has to kind of, like prep you for sex and like
throughout
prep
the day.
You. That prep yeah. You. No, yeah. But look after
there's
you.
There's not seduce.
Look after you.
No,
like,
yeah.
What
yeah.
a term. But like, you
no,
know.
Yeah, like the,
yeah,
they're
to
like
seduce you. They have to be kind. There's so much about them behaving in a way and showing you
Yeah. Through their gestures. That, yeah, that's legit.
So then that's very relationship based, which brings me on.
Oh, sorry.
To my next point. Is Friends with Benefits, as Naomi Wolf thinks, yet another idea women are expected to shoehorn their actual needs into? And 2016 feminism exploded.
I know.
But like, that's the thing.
I've been reading so much stuff recently that's been saying, like, why has feminism up until now being like, women should be able to have sex like men? Like, what does that mean?
It's good for men, though, isn't it?
Because it's great for men.
We'd finish the same time as men. We'd be as emotionally, like, detached as they were.
But we don't have
it
sex like
it actually feeds,
men.
Like, a patriarchal agenda. And that's, she says so that we're
basically like
addicted.
Have sex like men, make yourselves more available for men.
Yeah. And she says we're like being sexually addictive behavior is wired into us. Like, we're way more likely to be, yeah. So we're way more likely biologically to be more attached to people.
But I hate having to admit that scientifically. Yeah, I hate having to agree with that because I'm really good at, actually, maybe I'm not. Wait a second.
This is why this book is great, though, guys. And if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't read it, why are you here? But also, like, actually, it's no spoilers, so it's fine. But, like, seriously, read this. I need to put it on all syllabuses ever. I might just, like, write to the Minister of Education.
I think when I'm in a long-term Friends with Benefits or a long-term relationship, I'm going to read this out loud to them every night.
So, basically, Wolf reckons that the paradox for women is that we have to be really, to be really free, we have to accept like our nature as designed to be dependent on love and connection and eros.
Okay,
so
like, but I have
basically
point.
Like 1984.
I've got my hand up. You can't see this, but I have my hand up.
It's 1984, George Orwell, Freedom and Slavery. Discuss, Hannah.
I've not read it.
Okay, doesn't matter. No,
you
I mean,
keep
like,
bringing up Orwell in every.
I'm sorry, he's
podcast.
Very important. No, but freedom and slavery. The only way we're going to be free is to admit that we are slaves to our emotions.
Right.
It makes me feel a bit sick saying it.
Oh, I had a point, and then you made me forget.
Sorry,
it, you little shit. Okay, no, here we go. So this isn't in Wolf, but I learnt this recently, and it kind of contradicts maybe that statement
Good,
about us being attached and stuff. So you know how like for thousands of years and forever, we've been told that men are naturally want to have sex with lots of women so they can spread their seed. Mm. And women just want to find one man who is going to nurture them and look after them and the babby. Well, no. Wrong. Actually, it's entirely...
Joke's on you.
Entirely the opposite way around, apparently. So if you put two different men's sperm in, like, a Petri dish together, they will fight. They will, like, battle it out. And so this whole thing, like, the fighting sperm, apparently was discovered in, like, the 19th century, but all of, like, the male evolutionists were like, oh, no, let's ignore that. That's not a thing. Like, men need to have sex with lots of women. But what the fighting sperm means is that women are, like, biologically made to have sex with lots of men. The sperm fight it out so that she can produce the fittest children.
Mind blown.
So the
it's not
fittest sperm gets to the
one
egg.
One guy's sperm fighting with its own sperm.
No. It's different men's sperm fighting. So if a woman has sex with lots of different men,
hang me
then
dry.
The fittest man's sperm is the one that will work.
Jeez, nature's
so we're technically as pre-designed to be
promiscuous
as men.
Or maybe more.
Oxytocin freaks me the fuck out. I hate that we have that. Because when you're falling for someone, you fucking know it. Your whole body knows it.
Yeah.
But I think
one of the things
that
came up...
boys have that. They never talk about it, so I don't know.
No. Not in the same way.
But one of the things that came up in Wolf is that women are more likely to have lots more oxytocin and lots more dopamine because we are capable of multi-orgasms.
Yeah.
We're multi-orgasmic, which means that, like, our potential is higher.
But does that mean that if you're not having multiple orgasms, that yours is just average?
Oh God, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't have multiple
It was all very depressing.
My average.
Okay, slang terms for the vagina. I was quite affronted by this. So basically, she just like goes on those online forums, looks at different slang words people are using, and when people open up for like, hey, what's the best slang term you've come across for the word vagina?
I didn't like that chapter. It was boring.
Everybody
I was like, I've heard
talked about the
violent.
I know, but I've often been engaged in my notes. I've put like I've been engaged in conversations where I try and find the most gross word for vagina to shock the most amount of people, to show people, especially if there's men around, that I'm like okay with it, and like I can joke about gashes and that's funny, and actually I'm not going to use that word anymore after reading this book, because I'm like, Yeah, there are far too many violent words for the word vagina.
I just remembered the point of that chapter, and actually it was to be like, chapter.
When we collect words for vagina, most of them have a violent agenda.
And that actually like really feeds into our psyche.
Yeah, but apparently if you go on trustsugar.com, there's lots of women who have gathered together to make positive words for vaginas. Including words like hush puppy and the sugared almond.
Love that.
I love this sugared almond.
Pick out three slang terms that shocked but made me giggle at the same time, because lad bible. The snack that smiles back. Enjoyed that. The butcher's dustbin.
No.
No.
And the bearded oyster.
The bearded oyster.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, also there was a slight revelation that feminine wash is actually being sold to us that we don't need.
I already knew that.
Oh, did anyone buy
because we have
that?
Our own, Lacey Green taught me we have our own pH
balance
in our vaginas. But anyway,
don't put
that was like,
soaps and stuff in your vagina.
No, don't. And it's just,
do people put them in their vagina?
Apparently.
Like douches and stuff.
Because we're always taught to believe in the language of like talking about vaginas is that they smell funny and they're horrible. And there's always like allusions to fish and you're like, all right. Okay, some other controversial topics in this, and I wanted to hear, because we've talked about this together as friends before, but in the light of this book, I think maybe our conversations will change, or maybe not. Porn. Ooh. Is there a pressure to think it's okay? Does it genuinely desensitize us sexually, and does it disrupt the reward system that men have?
And maybe it does, and the science proves that it does.
But I think we live in a very, especially online, I think YouTube is a very sex-positive space where we promote porn. Almost.
But, like, we promote... like, in moderation and a healthy relationship with porn. Like, I would never be like, hey, everyone, go watch porn. It's great. I'd be like, here's how to have a healthy relationship with porn.
I think in terms of women, because women are taught to be afraid of it, we're encouraging, and maybe don't say, like, use in moderation, because it might scare people away.
Yeah.
So maybe we're more positive than hypothetically we should be, but at the same time,
but it's been scientifically proven by so many people. Porn addiction is real and it affects your sex life,
and it's like an OCD like response where you just have to keep.
And it will, and like, scared, the, it really and like this book says, is that you get desensitized to it, and so you can only like get an erection or whatever, or get turned on by more and more like fucked up shit.
My question is,
how would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
As well, right, because YouTube, I feel like it's a very enlightened space where I've heard lots of really good conversations around porn.
Mm-hmm.
But it's predominantly, viewership-wise, it's statistically more likely that teenage girls are going to be watching than teenage boys. And I don't think the boys are having the same conversations.
Oh.
Am I scared? Is that YouTube, scary? Like, same with, like, Lacey Green. I would say, like, 70% of all of my, like, porn education has been from Lacey Green. Yeah. Now, how many men and boys are watching Lacey Green? I don't know. But I'm like, these conversations, are they happening? Because I don't feel like, and the sex that I have had, I think has been heavily influenced on their part by porn. And I'm like, I live in a really enlightened space, but I think it is predominantly a female space.
I do wonder how much sex, so much male sex must be influenced by porn. I've definitely had so many experiences where guys have been interested in something and I've been so stunned they were interested in it and I've concluded it must
be. But not
be
in a prudish way, just to like, that's not the vibe, that's not where we were going right now.
Just in a way that's like, that wouldn't have even, I wouldn't have thought of that. Maybe I'm just not imagining
So chronologically you've skipped ahead of a thing that I wanted to talk about. The traumatized vagina chapter.
Okay, go.
Trigger warning, guys, rape, sexual assault. Lena will put a thing in the description of this podcast of where you can skip to.
Yeah.
If you want to skip this part.
It was fascinating, but I disagree with one thing because I've just written my dissertation about basically traumatized vaginas.
Go on,
and I've read a lot of people's theories about rape in terms of war.
Okay.
I'll quickly drop this in.
What do you disagree with?
So Naomi Wolf says it's used to attack women.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's used to attack women. I think it's used to attack the pride and honour of the men. Women are literally tools. They're pawns.
Yeah. And but it still attacks them, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it's not... That's not the end goal.
Yeah.
They literally don't care. Systematic rape and horrible molestation of women. Like, they'll cut off their breasts. They'll do horrible shit and people, they'll get infected and they'll die. I'm so sorry, people who are listening.
I'm so sorry.
But it's nothing to do with the women.
But it's
all to do with the pride of the men.
In their minds.
That's what studies have shown historically. So it's probably different to what Naomi's reading.
And it's really scary because she talks about like men who...
That makes sense though.
Have been ordered to rape and haven't wanted to.
Yeah, that's...
But have had to because it's been the orders. And I'm like, like, patriarchy doesn't really benefit anybody, does it? We should probably get rid of that.
And then there are people whose fathers are asking them to kill themselves so they won't get raped, so they won't get pulled into the war conflict, and they won't suffer. But, it's a father asking their child to, like, jump down a well. Like, there's so much loaded stuff about honour and about, like, purity.
But the thing that I found just so heartbreaking and fascinating about this chapter was because... that connection between the vagina and the brain had kind of been established, so she was drawing on those conclusions, was that when you attack a woman's vagina, you're just attacking her whole being.
Mm. Yeah. And the light going out of their eyes, and they don't seem the same.
And that, it's anecdotal evidence again, but that doctor that treats women that have been through sexual abuse and assault, and he will...
Totally went on
his website. He'll make them, like, stand up and close their eyes, and he'll just slightly shove them, and
fall over.
And women who haven't had any experience of sexual assault or rape will be able to stand still and hold themselves if they get a slight shove, and the women who have experienced it will fall.
Neurologically they're just more likely to just fall over.
That's one of those things where I totally believe that connection.
It's hard to
the level of that connection.
Add anything to what she said in that chapter, because I was just like, I know so little about this, but I think it's so important, so yeah, read it.
So Naomi Wolf talks about going to this workshop about sacred spot massage, and it's really fun, and it sounds great, and I'm like, that would be interesting to experience.
Yeah.
But basically, she has this like throwaway comment, just like it's just in there where she's like, oh, and the man's sacred spot is his prostate,
and that's probably why that lots of heterosexual men are fearful of like the reference to being gay, because it's like, oh, that'll make you feel emotions. So when you touch the sacred spot, it's supposed to trigger emotions the same way that when we have G-spot orgasms, we'll cry. Men have exactly that same spot in their, right beside their prostate and rectum. And if they have gay sex, they'll more likely to cry.
It's not gay sex, Lena.
Sorry.
It's anal sex.
Anal sex.
I really want to peg a man. Just saying. Just putting that out there. But, like you were saying about the tantric stuff, being like, I want someone to massage my vagina. I've got a section here in the bit where she's talking about, like, tantric sex. And I've literally, like, bracketed it and written, I want this! My book. And then it just says, like, it's about blah, 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 blah. You have to learn how to have a sacred spot orgasm. And something about these amazing lose consciousness orgasms.
I
want one of these orgasms.
This whole book made me feel like I wasn't having enough orgasms.
Same. I felt like I wasn't having, like, the right kind of orgasm, yeah. which is annoying because I'm just like, why do I feel inadequate for my experience as a woman? but then there's this bit saying like all of these like sequential, inexhaustible waves. And I'm just like, yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I really enjoyed that she refers to this like porn addiction issue by saying that the men are like vagina, like they have like a lack of vagina literacy. That is exactly what it is. It's like a lack of literacy about how to talk to the vagina.
Yeah, no,
I was
no,
like,
no.
That's such a good phrase. That's I'm like, great. If I have bad sex with the next man, I'm just going to be like, you have very poor vagina literacy. Yeah.
Okay, final point. Let's talk about the pill. This is the point that I am so glad I read this book about. And I'm like, I've been telling everybody I've met since I read it.
But you guys know that I've been thinking of coming off the pill for a good year now.
Well, now are we going to do it, Hannah?
This book confirmed it for me. I'm like, I'm done.
I'm absolutely
raging. As soon as I get back from VidCon and I've properly moved house and I register again at my new local GP,
Hannah Whitten is tapping out.
I'm like, guys, I'm done. I am
what
done.
What contraception will you use?
Non-hormonal contraception.
I think
let's talk about
let's explain what we're talking about
with the hormonal pill.
Okay, so
and hormones in general.
I've titled this section "The Pill Changes Who You Marry."
Yeah, I would agree.
Oh my god! So basically, the premise. Tell me if I'm explaining this wrong. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, most pills trick your body into thinking that you're pregnant, which is exactly mm-hmm. how it was explained to me
yes.
when I went to the GP.
Because
and
it went
pumps
you
16.
With pregnancy hormones.
So yeah, so I went on the pill at 16. That was explained to me.
I was 17.
I didn't understand mm-hmm. the implications of what that meant. So what that means is that you're attracted to different people when your body thinks you're pregnant. So there's different kinds of like smells and different like genetically different hormones you're attracted to. And when you're pregnant, your body is wired to be attracted to people who have similar genetic similarities to you mm-hmm. or similar tolerances. So you're more likely to want kin around you. So mm-hmm. you're more likely to like biologically want people that are related to you around you. When you're not pregnant, you're more likely to like people who have different genetic makeup to you or different tolerances, different like disease tolerances.
Disease?
That's the thing, yeah, like when yeah. you like you're attracted to people because they have different disease tolerances to you. So mm-hmm. you can make a baby that's tolerant to both diseases.
Oh wow, okay.
So
does that mean I'm going to have to marry someone that's allergic to peanuts?
It means that you should definitely marry people when you're off the pill. So there's lots of instances yeah. of people that apparently she's found who have been on the pill the whole time you're in a relationship. And
yep.
you come off the pill when you're married and you're not attracted to that person anymore because
this
it's completely changed.
Freaks me
yeah.
out.
Yeah. And lots of people yeah. have had this issue and like I have
and
had
it's
personal
a hormonal thing.
Examples of that in my life that I completely attest to being like my emotions changed completely towards somebody after I came off the pill and I'm like, but, oh my god.
And see, I'm freaking out because I've been on the same pill for 7 years, and you guys can confirm this. I have a type.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. I've got a type. I wonder if that will change.
Well, I don't know because it. What is it even? What is anything? Like, it actually made me kind of upset. And also, like, I went on the pill when I was 16. Is it child abuse to not tell somebody about that? Probably. I feel
ooh.
Like really affronted.
Ooh.
I was underage, and somebody to not inform that about me and my body to tell me that, or like.
But it's weird, like, they're probably thinking, why would we tell her about her feelings changing?
Yeah, because feelings are just girly
but
things.
But also, thing to point out is this is Naomi Wolf's book, and
yeah.
she can take a fact, and it is a fact that your attraction to things change, but then, like, blow it up a bit more and be like, oh yeah, there are so many things, so many stories, again, of women who fall
yeah.
out of love with the person they marry. There's also a lot of people on the pill who stop taking the pill to have a baby and still love their partner.
That's
there
true,
is a
yeah.
balance.
That's
there.
True.
I love Lucy Moon.
Thank you, Lucy.
You have to
thank
keep
you,
it
Lucy.
Makes
me feel better. I'm just, if this is true, I'm going to be really angry.
Because I can attest to the fact that
I'm still
going to
come off the pill,
me.
Though. I need to
yeah,
see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I need
I
to
definitely
I
think it's
gonna
worth it. And I definitely noticed a drastic difference between how I felt about someone when I was on the pill and off the pill. And I still
yeah.
see that, but I'm not unattracted to
yeah.
certain
it's not like
it's not like it switches your brain on and off
yeah.
or switches
okay.
your brain
but
entirely.
It, like, does...
But it does change how you feel. Like, I feel a lot more independent when I'm on my period and I don't know why. Well, I do know now, but I'm not as physically
because
like,
you know you're not pregnant
to
your
someone.
Body knows it's not pregnant
yeah.
if you're on your period so it's
it
like,
knows I'm not like mentally addicted to someone
whereas I understand and like obviously the invention of the pill was very revolutionary and changed a lot of how like reasons women are more affluent in the workplace and actually the pill has done a lot for our society and it's really hard to be like oh the pill's evil why didn't anybody tell me but I'm also like I feel like that's a really key fact to leave out. If that has been left out on purpose, like,
I think it's only recently been discovered, but that is so important. It's like the same level as, like,
yeah,
it's not going to kill you, but like the blood clot thing.
But like, before you decide to marry someone, just come off the pill for a bit and see how you feel about them. Just test it out.
Like 9 months.
Yeah. Or maybe understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And stay on the pill for as long as possible. And then get pregnant and then just go back on the pill. And it'll be fine. But you know what's going on, so you know you haven't fallen out of love with them.
Because of this hormone thing, and because, like, smelling men's, like, armpits yeah. sweat is apparently very, very key to who we get, like, attracted to and attached to.
It makes
to.
Such a difference, I'm telling you now, and I don't yeah. understand why.
Online dating, efficient or not efficient?
I don't have time for it.
Well, you,
yeah, but
you don't,
because I can't smell their armpits. Like,
you
know, what's
you
the
don't
point?
Smell their armpits when you first meet them.
I know, but, like,
you smell their armpits during a sexual encounter.
No, but I think it's just they're just
yeah, but
general
you can,
scent.
You have, like, a... I think it's an intimate. No, I think it's an intimate.
Even
scent.
If you're hugging someone, you can get
yeah,
a whiff.
That, yeah, the hugging. So yeah, I think you yeah. can meet people online dating and you're sorted. Not sorted, you're fine. Mm. But then obviously you know when you hug them and meet them and hang out with them. And
but isn't it faster to be in a club and go and hug everybody in the room?
Maybe that's what speed dating's
like,
for.
Just faster.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically speed date. Everyone
so I don't think
date.
Online.
Speed date and just be like,
after
can
this...
I sniff your armpit? And
so
then
basically...
you'll get all of the dates.
I also get horny.
Final thoughts. Tell me what you're taking, what you're going to do differently in your life because of this book.
I'm going to come off the pill.
Be very, very aware of my vagina.
I'm going to start using the word cunt.
I love the word cunt. It's my favourite word.
No, I'm not going to use it.
You're
anymore.
Not going to use it?
No.
Why?
Because the way she talked about the origins of it and how violent it was and the way people use it in war, I was like, actually...
What are you going to use instead? It's so powerful, though.
Yeah, because it's a violence.
I'm reclaiming it.
No, I'm not ready to reclaim it. I don't mind if you say it to me, but
it's
I'm not
like
going
to
say
it. It's like the N-word, it's chill. Some people what? Like to say it, some people don't like to say it. Obviously white people don't say
no,
it.
No, but only black people can say it.
Yeah, only black people can say it. But some black people are like, no, I don't want to say it. At least this is my
yeah, so
experience.
We all get to decide.
Yeah, we get to decide.
For me,
so you're saying that
I
men can't use
have
it.
Reversed...
I don't think men should use it.
No, I definitely don't think men should use it. And I'd judge them if they did.
Yeah.
I'm now going to judge them if they did. Because mm-hmm. I've realised that it is our word. Definitely.
Or maybe I'll educate them and then judge them beyond the education.
actually, that reminds me. I was at a friend's birthday party recently and just having a conversation and someone said something, like, it was with a bunch of gay men, mm-hmm. and they said something stupid about vaginas and them smelling weird, and I was just reading this book, and I was like, no, and, like, gave them the spiel about how they should never say that about vaginas, because the women hearing it will internalise it, and it will just fuck shit up yeah. for everyone. Mm. And they were like, thank you. And actually, like, cool. I will not do that
good.
Anymore. And I was like, okay, final thoughts, takeaways. I think I'm going to try and have better orgasms. That's, I think...
And come off the pill.
Have better orgasms and come off the pill. Yeah.
And be more not demanding, but be more vocal about it and explaining why. This is my natural
I'm
mental,
gonna,
like
try and make as many men read this book as possible, which is a hard sell because its name is Vagina, a biography.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they seem so fixated on it. I think they can get through 500 pages, don't you?
I'm just going to try and encourage everyone to read it.
I think this is the best book we've read so
I want
far.
My
this has been my favourite book so far.
Yeah, definitely.
This is the most. This is the one that I'm like, I'm so relieved that I read that. So relieved.
Yeah. I'm so glad I know. Yeah. My whole world has been changed.
I think this should be like 101 if you own a vagina, government should
just
issue you a copy. 101
if you own a vagina or if you want to touch a vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, well, how do you
and
think she did...
And people who just have to interact with vaginas.
How do you think she did on representing straight
privilege? It was very heterosexual, mm-hmm. but I...
She did keep acknowledging
I
that,
did,
though.
Yeah, she did keep acknowledging it.
Less so towards
but
the
I
end.
Also did like the way that whenever she talked about people who were having sex with people with vaginas, she said, like, so men or women who want to please vagina.
Who would like their partner to do
yeah.
this for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there was that. There was no trans stuff in here.
I would
be interested to hear what trans men's experiences are who are pre-op, so ooh. Who still potentially have a vagina.
Yeah.
God,
if
that would be
if
so
they
interesting.
Might have, like, what happens there.
Thanks for listening to Fagging Book Club.
Thank you.
If you're here, you've probably got links to some of the other videos and podcasts, but we will leave them as links anyway. Next month, we're reading
Perv.
Perv.
Well, who's Perv by?
The Sexual Deviant in All of Us by Jesse
something.
Something. Oh, God. Begins with a B.
We'll write in the description.
Yeah.
There is a link in the description to the Google Doc of all of our reading lists for this year.
Mm-hmm.
So you can plan ahead.
Yeah. It should be cool. So we've got another non-fiction one coming, and then a spout of fiction.
Yeah.
To spice up our world.
I know, we're so spice sorry there's been non-fiction.
It has
so
been
long.
Pretty serious
facts. More housekeeping. If you want to join in the discussion, we have a Goodreads group. We also follow the hashtag Banging Book Club on Twitter. So if you make videos or mm-hmm. blog posts about the book, make sure to use that hashtag so we can see them and share them.
There's a playlist.
There's a playlist of all the videos. So if you do a video, I can add it to the playlist. The podcast and video for next month that should be coming out at the end of June will now be coming out at the beginning of July. Just a heads up, guys. Don't hate us.
In case you're all panting.
Yeah,
maybe
no,
not. Maybe
you
in your diaries.
Obviously you care so much. Right, let's say our goodbyes as we have a bath.
We've got a table
to.
Booked. Love you, see you, bye.
Bye.
Don't take the pill.
1 Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.